The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service by the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. Now, here's today's show.
Hey, welcome, nonprofit community. Isn't this a great day to hear about another great nonprofit doing such great, phenomenal, fantastic work that we all need to know about? And I'm Kara Zimmerman, proud to be your announcer today to talk about Nonprofits First. And first, thank you, Spirit of Giving Network, for sponsoring this beautiful show and being there for us, really being the support, the backbone of the nonprofit community. Again, thank you, Spirit of Giving Network. Today, we have Adrian Tynes here as the Director of Accreditation at Nonprofits First. So that is kind of a mouthful, Adrian. And you fit it beautifully. I can see that you are just truly excellent at being a director of accreditation. But what is that? What do you do? And thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's
a pleasure to be here. So Nonprofits First, just in case you don't know. It's a nonprofit for nonprofits. So what we do is try to increase the capacity of the organizations that are serving the community here in Palm Beach County in South Florida.
How many, not to interrupt, but it just popped in my head, how many nonprofits are there, do you know, in Palm Beach County? I'm curious.
The estimates kind of vary, but it's somewhere between 6,800 and 8,000.
6,800
and 8,000.
Yeah. From little ones to big ones and all in between.
Yep. It's a really big economic driver in our community. So even though we don't pay property taxes, we still pay, payroll taxes and all sorts of things like that. You get services that the government isn't able to provide directly. And, a lot of people working for those nonprofits. So the money that they get going back into the community to the businesses and the services that they need.
I really never thought about it that way. But yes, I mean, it is an employer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And for many of us who are, lovers of community and want to help, it's a wonderful place to work in a nonprofit. And you probably see so many doing different things in the community. But you are the support system to that nonprofit agency. Is that how you would explain it? Or?
Sure. So we have a number of services that we provide at Nonprofits First. We have educational and professional development services. So we have a really robust calendar of educational opportunities there, which you can find if you go to nonprofitsfirst.org and look up events under education. We teach everything that the nonprofit professional needs to know. So there's sometimes there's HR classes, there's financial management classes. Really anything that a nonprofit professional would need to use in their daily work, we try to elevate that work by providing those opportunities. We have a signature program called Rising Leaders, which takes middle career professionals and kind of takes them to that next level of nonprofit expertise.
Because a lot of times when you start out in a nonprofit, you might be right out of college, typically. Or you might not have thought you wanted to get into nonprofit work, but you did. So to think that Nonprofits First is there, I would say, hey, we should take advantage of it, right, if we're in a nonprofit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have a membership program at Nonprofits First, and a lot of the educational and professional development classes are free to our members, and that's on a sliding scale based on your organization's annual revenue. So line 12, I think, of your Form 990. Yeah.
She knows.
Yeah.
Adrian knows. So it's important to become a member so you can take advantage of your programs, because you can't just sign up. You need to be a member.
You can come to the classes, but a lot of times, it'll cost between $35 and $50 for a non-member, where it'll be free for a member. And there's a ton of other member benefits, including we have affiliate consultants that we work with And all of the affiliate consultants give Nonprofits First members a discount on their services as well. So,
such as?
Strategic planning, board development, fundraising, special events planning. Really anything that you can think of that you might need a consultant to do for your nonprofit, we probably have an affiliate that's working in that area.
That's priceless right there.
Yeah.
To know. Because we all so many of us, right, nonprofits, we have to put on a fundraiser, we have to do a golf event.
Yeah.
We have to have social media. We have to have budgets and boards. And what better than to go to a class and keep abreast of all of those areas to make it better, fine-tune it.
Yeah. And there's a ton of other member benefits as well. The folks that are in business development can talk about that a little bit more eloquently than I can. But if you go on our website, again, nonprofitsfirst.org, there's a ton of information about member benefits there. So that's part of what we do. And then we also fill in a little bit with financial management back office stuff. So if your CFO leaves or your organization grows and you realize we don't have the internal capacity to do our bookkeeping and that sort of thing, we have folks on staff that will fill in and do that. And then, of course, we have the accreditation department, which is what I run.
And Adrian, how did you or why did you get into this? Did you wake up one day and say, I want to work at Nonprofits First as a director of accreditation? You said, yes.
Yeah, I don't know that it's any little girl's dream to, grow yeah. up and be a director of accreditation. But
do you get that?
It really works for me. I went to grad school up in Indiana and got a degree in, we got two degrees, one in nonprofit management and the other one in philanthropic studies. And while I was in grad school, people were talking about, I want to work in this particular subsector. I want to work in this particular subsector. And there's not really an aspect of the nonprofit sector that doesn't interest me. I'm super passionate about, like a lot of people, I'm super passionate about a lot of different missions, and I can get on board with a lot of different missions. And so when I was looking for a job, I was, I would love to focus on, kids aging out of foster care or LGBTQ rights or equitable access to health care and food. But at Nonprofits First, I get to work with all of those types of organizations.
Really?
So that's part of why I started working there and a big part of the reason why I've stayed.
Now, are you originally from Florida? Because you said Indiana. My son went to, did you go to Indiana University?
I went to IUPUI, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My son, too. Great school.
Yeah. Was he in Bloomington?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a beautiful campus.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was the greatest 4 years he had. And it was, it's like a Ivy League looking campus and definitely a good college town.
Yeah.
The Bloomington really supports the kids and all the stores are all wrapped around the school. Here, I'm giving it IU. But it's a great school.
Yeah.
And it brought you, look at this. And
yeah.
How did you get to IU and then back down here?
My partner's from this area.
So
we came back down to be closer to her folks, and my folks live in Gainesville. So,
but are you a Midwesterner beginnings?
No, we moved around. We moved around a lot, like every 2 years or so growing up. So this is, I think, state number 13 or 14.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. A lot of my extended family is from Florida, but yeah, this part of Florida is newish to me.
So that job just had your name all over it.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah.
I always find it so interesting. How did you get your job? Especially a title like that. I don't think you specifically go to school to become that.
Right.
But it led you to this, uses all of your skill set, everything.
Yeah.
And passion.
Yeah. And every day is different, and I get to work with amazing people that are doing amazing work and are super passionate about whatever their particular mission is. So it's a great job.
Wow.
And I've got a great team working with me and a great group of volunteers. And it's pretty fun.
It's awesome. And how important is accreditation to a nonprofit? What is that process?
Yeah, so there are three local funders that require their grantees to go through the accreditation process. So the Children's Services Council of Palm Beach County, United Way of Palm Beach County, and then Palm Beach County Community Services FAA Department. So those three funders require their grantees to go through the process. And it's really to ensure that the donor dollars and tax dollars that are going in the form of grants to these organizations are going to organizations that have the infrastructure in place to support the programs. So, you know, funders get really excited about programs or really, you know, jazzed about what those programs can do for the community. But if they don't have the infrastructure in place to support those programs, then you could be sending money basically down a drain. So in about 2005, a group of community volunteers kind of came together and created a program of kind of self-assessment mixed with external assessment. And then that kind of morphed into Nonprofits First and the accreditation program. So it's been running for quite a while. Right now we're working with about 74-ish organizations across Palm Beach County.
And do they need to become accredited every year, or is it?
Yeah, so it runs on a 4-year cycle. And the first year we look, you know, soup to nuts. We look at their governing documents, their board governance, their HR policies and procedures, their financial policies and procedures, credit cards, debit cards, consultants, all that kind of stuff. Then so they fill out a form, an online form, that has just a ton of information and resources in it, but they fill out that form. We do an assessment before we go and do the on-site. We take a team of executive volunteer core members. So these are folks that have 5 years or more of experience at the C-suite level in finance or governance or management or HR. And we go on-site and we confirm that everything that they put in the form is accurate and represents what they're actually doing in practice. And then occasionally we'll, if they want some advice on how to do something differently, we'll provide that, but we try not to be prescriptive because every organization is a little bit different. So then once they're accredited after that first year, we do three years of financial reviews. And there we're basically looking to make sure that the organization's going to be financially solvent for the next 12 months. And that there's not any, indications of, you know, they're losing cash or they're losing revenue and not reducing their expenses, that sort of thing.
And then that way, a donor has the confidence to know that the money that they're donating to that particular organization, it is solvent and solid and true to its mission.
Right. So you're not going to make a donation to an organization that's not going to be there in 12 months. And then I don't know if you read this. There's the FTC or... the FTC, in combination with a number of state kind of watchdogs. It's different in every state. Here in Florida, the Department of Ag kind of oversees nonprofit organizations and what they're doing as far as charitable solicitations. But there have been a number of nonprofits that serve or that purport to serve veterans and service members. Where they're finding that a lot of the donations that are going to those organizations aren't actually going to serve the people that they claim to serve. So there's a kind of a nationwide, well, the good news is there's a nationwide crackdown on that. So we'll start seeing hopefully less and less of those. But checking to see if an organization is accredited is one way that you can ensure that your donor dollars are not going to an organization like that.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, now you can see again why your journey, your job, Nonprofits First, is very important, as well as giving tools to this nonprofit. If there's an area that they need some support, you can point that out in that review. I bet I can just picture when you guys all come in, right? Are they nervous, the nonprofit? You come in, we're coming in to check everything.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say.
Like the preparation might be intense, right, before you, but important.
Yeah. And I think even the organizations that are really well established and have been in operations for a while, I think they enjoy, you know, maybe not enjoy, but appreciate. Every 4 years having to go back and look at their manuals and look at their documents and make sure, okay, is what we think we're doing reflected in these manuals? So if somebody leaves, somebody can come back in and pick up these manuals and be able to operate the way that we want them to. So you have that look. And then also, you know, do these manuals reflect practice and is there anything that we should change in them to, you know, to make sure that everything is aligned. It's really easy for manuals to get stale. It's really easy for us to kind of sink into this is the way that we've always done it and not really think about, well, if I'm not here, is somebody going to know how to do it the way that we do it?
Yeah, and let's face it, nonprofits, there is some turnover.
Yeah.
Right? We do
have... There's a little bit of turnover in the nonprofit
We do
sector,
have some
sure.
turnover. So, yeah. Again, just pointing out the importance of the work that you do because, you know, you need a roadmap on every position in the organization and somebody leaves, boom, they can easily fill in that spot if they have those manuals and you make the nonprofit better.
Yeah.
You know?
That's our entire goal. So
isn't that something?
Yeah. On the one hand, it's security for donors. On the other hand, it's capacity building for the nonprofits.
It's just speaks volumes. When we get back, we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the toolkit.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, you know, where we can find you and what you need. So we'll be right back. Thank you so much, Adrian.
Of course.
Learning shouldn't stop when the school bell rings. As a parent, you're a key component to your child's education team and the key to making sure that learning never stops. I'm Andy Ford, president of the Florida Education Association. Here are a few things you can do at home to help make education and learning a priority. Talk to your child about school every day. Take your child on family outings to parks, community festivals, and local landmarks. Encourage your child to count money, calculate change, read menus, read newspapers, and write letters. Talk to your child about your family, the holidays you celebrate, and the foods you eat. Learning doesn't stop when your child gets home from school. It's just the beginning. Working together, parents and teachers can make this a successful school year for every student in Florida.
A message from the Florida Education Association. Great public schools are a basic right for every student.
Welcome back, Nonprofit First. Adrian Tynes, High Nonprofit Community. So interesting what you do. And we just mentioned a little bit about the toolkit, and I think that follows in wonderfully with our accreditation conversation.
Yeah.
So tell us, Adrian, what is the Nonprofit First toolkit?
Sure. So since we've been working on the accreditation process since about 2005, when it went from being a paper-driven process to an online-driven process, we created this custom form that's the basis of the accreditation process. And in that, it has links to federal, state, and local laws and regulations. It has sample resources. So if we ask you if you have a policy, generally, we have a sample policy for you to look at. So if you don't already have one, you can go ahead and implement the policy that we've given you a sample for. So we've been using that online document since, I want to say 2011, 2012. And at some point realized this is a great resource even for organizations that aren't going through the accreditation process. Because really, when you distill out all of the accreditation-related materials, and you get down to the questions, it's a great self-assessment for an organization. So it's got all of the things that you need to be compliant with federal, state, and local laws. And then it's also got best practices. So if your organization has recently grown, you know, you've gone from one or two staff members to now you've got five or six, and you realize, I need an HR manual. We've got a sample of HR manual in the toolkit for you. And kind of the way that it's set up is you answer yes or no or not applicable to a variety of questions in different topic areas. And then the questions that you answer no to, there's a report that you can generate from the system, and that'll show you, okay, these are the areas of my nonprofit that I have opportunities for growth. So, for example, if you're looking at your governing documents, you know, the things that you're legally required to make available to the public when they request it. And you realize, okay, I've got my designation letter, but I don't have my annual report. I don't have my IRS 990 available to the public. So it kind of gives you a better idea of what you need to do to be a top performer in the nonprofit sector.
I'm just curious. We said 6,800 to 8,000 nonprofits in Palm Beach. The accreditation process, which, how do I ask this? Do all those 6,800 to 8,000 nonprofits need that accreditation, or is it just, why would they want to receive that? Wouldn't they all or not?
You know, it kind of depends, and that's another part of the reason why we came up with the toolkit is because there's a lot of organizations that might need the infrastructure support and might want to have a better idea of what the best practices are in the nonprofit sector, but they can't afford the full accreditation process either because of time or money. Then the toolkit is a great option for them to just take a look internally and see where some of their opportunities for improvement may lie. We do have a couple of organizations that are not funded by those three funders that are still going through the accreditation process just because that's something that's important to them, that recognition is important to them. And I've heard from other funders in the area that they look to the organizations that are funded by United Way and CSC and the county as potentially a little bit safer bet than some of the organizations that may be new to them. So, and I think the accreditation process is part of that.
So it's, as you use the word, a very common word, I love it, best practice, maybe for a lot of the nonprofits even to go through this toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just starting out, you're new.
Yeah.
You know, at least they have that support to make sure that they're on board or they're doing, that's a wonderful service.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that really concerns me, especially in the nonprofit sector, is we're so trusting of other people. And there are as many bad actors in the nonprofit sector as there are in the for-profit sector. And so you'll see, you know, if you just Google nonprofit and embezzlement or nonprofit and fraud, you'll find, you know, just thousands of articles about people that are stealing from organizations that have a wonderful mission. And so one of the ways that you can kind of combat that is by having strong internal controls. But a lot of organizations, particularly the smaller ones, if they're doing their in-house bookkeeping, they may not have a financial manual. They may not be doing an internal control checklist. And so those are some of the resources that the toolkit provides.
Very interesting. You mean they're all not above board, our nonprofits?
I mean, I'm definitely on the sunny side of the street. I'm definitely a very optimistic person and have a deep faith in humanity. But, you know, you got to be a realist. When there's opportunity, there's fraud. That's just the way of the world, unfortunately. So,
and in the corporate world versus nonprofit, do they have something like a nonprofits first? I'm wondering if I guess they're bored. They're
maybe the Better Business Bureau. I can't really think.
This is really a wonderful opportunity that a nonprofit has versus a for-profit organization to have you.
Yeah.
You know,
I think so.
I'm really this is, do other cities, states have a nonprofits first, or are we just lucky enough to have you?
We have a few peer organizations in Florida. There's a nonprofit leadership center in Tampa. There's a nonprofit center of Northeast Florida up in Jacksonville. I think that's the name of it. Rollins College has a nonprofit center. So, and we do communicate with those other peer groups to find out, you know, what they're doing and let them know what we're doing and kind of work together that way.
Well, I am sure that Indiana University is very proud of Adrian Tynes because you have implemented this wonderful toolkit program and director of accreditation.
Oh, I'm standing on the shoulders of everybody that worked in the department for me, before me, and the executive volunteers that we work with as well. Just a tremendous resource. These are folks that are more than happy to give up a full day of their time to go to an on-site and help us accredit organizations and help us give them support.
Yeah, tell us about the volunteers. Do you need volunteers?
I always need volunteers.
Are you kidding, Kara?
Yeah, no, I always need volunteers. One of the awesome things about the folks that are retiring right now is more than any other retirement generation before them, they're really excited about giving back of their time and talent, but giving specifically with their expertise. So rather than, you know, going in and doing some of the other awesome things that they could be doing, they're willing to do what they used to get paid for free. And so that's the kind of volunteer that I'm really looking for. Folks that have experience in financial management or governance or HR or operations. Those are the folks that, tend to really enjoy the accreditation process and what it brings with it. One of the other parts of the toolkit that I think is going to be really helpful for folks, and we're just kind of launching it now. I think we had our first purchase maybe back in January or February. So it's just now getting off the ground. But the folks that purchase the toolkit get a year of access to a helpline. So if they have a question about nonprofit management, they can just email us their question. We'll send it out to our executive volunteers, our team of experts, and get some responses back. So that, you know, sometimes working at a nonprofit, especially if there's only a couple of you there or if it's a board-run nonprofit, it can be a lonely job. So that's one thing that that the toolkit offers and that I also need some more volunteers for.
To man those emails that are coming in to say, to answer those questions. So that's another wonderful space to put a volunteer in, because they could even do it from their house and feel connected to the work that they did and support that nonprofit with that toolkit. So, Adrian, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming. I wish you all the best. And the nonprofit community of Palm Beach County thanks you for the work that you do to support us. Thank you for coming today.
Oh, absolutely. It's my pleasure.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service of the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. And tune in again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.